and then save the DMCA for next year. But these artists do have a point. And the broader point is YouTube is making money either way. And what they're saying is YouTube should not be allowed to profit off of this without us getting what we're owed.
Mm-hmm.
YouTube's argument is, we have legitimate music uploads. We pay you for those. That's not the issue. The issue is all the illegal stuff that's on there that YouTube is supposed to do something about. So at the very least, if they can get a congressperson or two to take a look at this, that will shame YouTube into doing something about it, because the last thing Google wants is another congressional investigation and hearings and legislation. So they may get some action out of this. We will see. This is WMFO Medford. I am legally required to tell you that. So the people sitting in the House of Representatives right now, don't get too angry at me. I like them being angry at who and what they're angry at right now. And power to them. I hope they're sitting there until the end of the day Friday, which is when Congress leaves for its 4th of July recess, even though the 4th of July isn't for another week.
It's Washington. It's very patriotic. There's no sun up in the sky.
Stormy weather. No stormy weather in the immediate future. Well, not stormy. Maybe a little. We're going down to about 60 degrees. Dry night tonight. Enjoy the low humidity. Tomorrow, partly sunny skies. Maybe a shower. Depending on where you are, maybe a shower.
Like this afternoon was nice.
Better chance of getting a shower if you're down in the southern part of the state. High will be in the mid-70s. Temperatures fall back to about 60. Friday, lots of sun. High in the mid-70s. Temperatures around 60 Friday night. Saturday, lots more sun. 77 for a high. Low right around 60 Saturday night. Then Sunday, it's Lisa weather.
Yep.
Because nobody likes this weather except Italians and tomatoes. Temperatures over 90 degrees in the central part of the state, inland areas. And if you're on the coast, along the southern beaches, temperatures will be in the upper 70s. Sun everywhere. But that humidity is going to be climbing up on Sunday. And there'll be a sticky night, temperature in the low 60s Sunday night. So, yeah. Italians and tomatoes. It's their favorite kind of weather. I got to plant my tomatoes this weekend. I've been around, so I haven't had time. No, I mean, I got all this stuff. I just haven't had time to plant the darn things. So we'll get them in the ground this weekend just in time for the heat. That will make them happy. When we come back, did you hear all the other things that are happening in the news right here on WMFO Medford?
Be an alert shopper. Watch for specials at your meat counter. If you're not taking advantage of them, you could be missing out on enjoyable eating and an economical way of stocking your freezer. Always know what cut you're buying and its best use. If you buy meat marked USDA Prime, Choice, or Good, you'll know what quality you're getting. For more information, write How to Buy Meat, Agriculture Radio, Washington, D.C., 20250.
When you get bumped on a racetrack, the key is to stay in control.
NASCAR legend Rusty Wallace.
Same goes for the highway. That's why professional truck drivers need to buckle up every trip, every time. Your safety belt can keep you in position behind the wheel and in control, looking out for yourself and everybody else. That's what a professional driver does. So be ready, be buckled, and remember, you're the professional, the one who drives for a living.
A public service message from the U.S. Department of Transportation.
Welcome back to The Big Picture on WMFO 91.5 Medford. I'm Lisa Nichols with Derek Gary. As always, we are here with you every Wednesday night. And we want you to be a part of the show. And the way that you do that, you give us a call at 617-627-3800. And that song means it's time for Did You Hear? the part of the show where Derek and I quiz each other on different topics in this week's news, but we kind of inform you on some important things about that. But mostly we just like to prove that we're better than one another. I think I like this segment the most is just because I get to see you rocking out.
Can't be bothered to answer any questions. Dancing. Gladys.
All right.
Pips.
Our listeners probably think that you aren't, from what you describe of yourself, as like nimble and hip, but you are. Your dance moves show that.
I got my moments.
All right. I'm going to start this week, as always. Sugar tax.
Oh, God. Which state?
And that's the only way you're getting it.
God, which state? God, I can't. New York.
Nope. One would think.
Massachusetts.
Nope.
Ah, sugar tax. Sugar tax.
Mountain Dew. Of course it's not here.
California?
Nope. Pennsylvania.
The Philadelphia City Council
approved a tax on sweet drinks, so they're calling it the sugar tax, and it makes it the first major city in the country to pass such a levy, and overcoming a multi-million dollar campaign by the beverage industry to oppose it. So this is 1.5 cent an ounce that takes effect for both sugar-sweetened and artificially sweetened diet drinks. So you think you're safe with your, you know, diet fizzy? Nope, that has sugar in it, or it has Splenda, or anything that has stevia. You're getting taxed.
That's
on
not
it.
Sugar. Stevia is not sugar.
Artificial sweetener as well.
Why would you tax artificial sweetener? That's not the problem. Is sugar, not artificial sweetener.
In Philadelphia, they are taxing sugar drinks and artificially sweetened diet drinks.
Okay, so this is not a sugar tax.
But they're calling it the sugar tax.
Well, they can call it whatever they want.
That's dubbed the sugar tax.
They call it whatever they want. They're not just taxing sugar. And there should
be... But to some people, artificial sugar is sugar.
We need to have a soda party down in Philadelphia. Everybody go throw cases of soda into the harbor and tell them no taxation without carbonation.
Right. Right. Yeah, that's good.
And if it doesn't have sugar in it, you can't call it a sugar. Stevia is not sugar.
Interestingly enough, Berkeley, California is the only city in the country to have such tax, but Philadelphia being the first of the major cities. So, taxing those sodas.
We make the argument that it is too expensive for poor people to eat anything but junk food, and then we tax the junk food. So what are the poor people supposed to eat?
It's true.
Now they can't afford to eat anything. This is counterproductive. Mm-hmm. It's a tax grab is what it is. Wait. Just you wait. $750 million deficit here in Massachusetts? Ooh, someone's going to be looking for a sugar tax.
Don't say easy one, because then when I don't get the softball.
This is the easy one. This is the softball.
We all miss in softball.
This is the softball.
Don't.
This is the chip shot. This is the chip shot. Diablo Canyon is your chip shot for today. Diablo Canyon.
See, I hate when you do this.
Oh my God.
I know. Ugh. It's in Arizona.
No, it's not.
It's in the United States.
Yes, it's there.
Oh, it's record heat.
No.
Well, there's multiple cities in the country right now in that area that have record heat. What is it, Derek?
All you have to do is go to facebook.com /BigPictureWMFO. On Tuesday, every week I ask you about the story that I post on Wednesday. On Big Picture, on Facebook.com /BigPictureWMFO.
Ironically enough, the only day that I didn't look on it or read the story, because I actually texted you yesterday of cause of concern because you weren't posting on Monday and Tuesday, and I thought that you might be dead. So.
Every Wednesday, I ask you a question about that day's post.
Yes,
it's
go
like,
on.
It's like me saying... It's like me saying cookies and you not coming back automatically with peanut contamination. Okay? It's just throw it out there. If it's a baked good, the problem is peanuts.
Prepared
for that
one. If
it's frozen food, the problem is Listeria. Diablo Canyon is the last operational, well, it's the last operating California nuclear power plant.
Yes.
That will be shut down.
So I read the headline.
As of 2025, there will be no functioning nuclear power plants.
California?
In California.
That's right. Okay.
This was the last one. So this is a big win for the environmentalists. This plant is a particular problem because it's built on top of two fault lines. And the engineers have sworn up and down that it's safe and you don't have anything to worry about. But as we have learned more about earthquakes, more and more questions have been raised about whether or not Diablo Canyon would be safe. So a win for the nuclear haters, Diablo Canyon, offline in 2025.
Starbucks.
Oh, God, what did I just hear about Starbucks? And I just heard this. This was yesterday, wasn't it? Starbucks is being sued because their lattes do not contain the same amount of liquid that is advertised. It turns out that they underfill them and put all of that latte goo on top. I don't know what that has a technical name.
Foam.
I don't know what it is. The foam. Is that what it is? Mm-hmm. It's just foam. So the foam is consuming area that should be liquid in the eyes of the people filing this suit. The cups are the right size, but there is not that number of venti or grande ounces.
Yeah, just for our listeners to understand the proportions of cappuccino. It's like half and half, half milk, half foam. Yeah. Whereas latte, for the majority, it's like 3/4, maybe a little bit more of liquid and then just a little foam on top. If you ever, and Dunkin' Donuts actually has this problem as well, because I remember posting something on Twitter and saying, where's my latte? Because it was less than half full with no foam. And I guess it disperses. I don't know. But yeah, two people are taking, the coffee giant to court and saying, not so fast. If you remember a few months back, they were also in court about putting too much ice in iced coffee. So.
And whatever happened with that one? Did we ever get a settlement on that?
I'm sure it was hush hush, and she was given a nice little package.
This is a legitimate. This is a legitimate criticism because you work in the industry, and you know if you can like shave a quarter of an ounce or a half an ounce
over time,
or an ounce off of a serving over time, you're talking about a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And with the volume of coffee that Starbucks sells, yeah, this is a nice way to juice up your profits a little bit. I don't know that this is intentional on their part, because if you think about lattes and the way they're meant to work is you have a cup and you fill like a porcelain cup and you fill that to the top with your espresso and then you dump the foam on top of that.
Well, here's the problem in the case.
When you're putting it in a cardboard tube, much like the oats, you've got to get everything to fit inside of that.
Normally, I would say yes. Maybe a few people were trained incorrectly and the baristas don't really know how to do it. But what they're using is a steel pitcher, essentially. They're putting it in the wand. When they're filling up the milk, there's a line on it that says fill to here.
Yeah.
So it's just like if you're making ramen at home, it says fill to here. You're not going to fill it over. You're not going to fill it under. The directions say this. The workers are seeing this and doing it. So then you almost say, well, is it intentional? Because it's coming from the manufacturer.
Is somebody moving that line down a little bit?
Exactly. You have the executives at Starbucks saying, well, this was our old pitcher that we used to, and it had, 7 ounces per fill up. What if we bumped it down to 6.5?
Yeah, throw a little more milk in there and no one will know the difference.
Nobody would know. The baristas won't know because we're telling them what to do. They think that, and they think it's a proper way when it only comes up a little short in, say, a grande or a venti.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't like it.
I could see it. I could see that happening. I doubt anybody gets any money out of this. But, hey, maybe it'll be a free latte day. Jaguar.
Ooh, a jaguar was shot And this was, yeah, for the Rio Olympics.
Yes.
Was going to be a part of the fire torch ceremony.
It had actually just taken part in the torch ceremony.
Oh, so it's the beginning of it, yes.
A jaguar is...
And people are very, very angry.
A cartoon jaguar is the mascot of the Rio Olympics. So someone thought it would be a great idea to have a chained jaguar, actual, like, cat thing...
Jaguar.
at this handoff ceremony. Yeah, no. So they brought the jaguar out, chained it to the ground, and then took it back. The jaguar got out of an enclosure, and in the words of Rio officials, turned on its veterinarian, giving the attending officers no choice but to murder it. So, we have a dead jaguar now. The first of many things, I believe, that will die during the 2016 Rio Olympics.
We're just starting.
Can we just, I assume they just took the jaguar and threw it in Guanabara Bay with
and just,
the poo.
Yeah,
and
you wouldn't have to worry about anything eating it because the amoebas and the feces that are inhabiting Poo Bay just eat it all up.
Can we just go ahead and say worst Olympics ever right now and move on?
We're calling it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I can't wait till the coverage that we get to do on this show during the Olympics. Any of our listeners, if they would like to call up and place bets on what will be the first to fall, sure.
I think the first casualty is Bob Costas gets pink eye again.
All right. Robert Kraft.
Robert Kraft, he's the owner of the New England Patriots, wants to build his soccer stadium in Dorchester.
Yes, in my backyard.
Former site of the Bayside Expo Center, notable for having no access whatsoever from the highway.
Yeah.
That is a defining trait of the Bayside Expo Center. Why it failed? Because you can't get to it.
If anybody between the hours of, I'm going to say, 7 o'clock in the morning to 10 o'clock in the morning and then 2 o'clock in the afternoon to 8 at night, if you try to go near any of that rotary near South Boston on the Dorchester line, near the Shaws, going into Morrissey Boulevard, you will want to drive your car into the quarries down there because it is awful.
Yeah.
There's only one way in, one way out. So, yeah, we're back to this conversation. Originally, he wanted to put it right behind my work.
Yeah, that
now he's
was
trying
never
to
happen.
Ruin my life a little bit more and gut the... you know what? You don't even need to gut the Bayside Expo. I think it has dilapidated on itself. So you just need to take the outside
part. Oh, you just need to walk up to it and kick it and the whole thing will fall down. Most of the roof has fallen down anyway.
Yeah, you can see it shaking.
So
most of high winds over 30 miles an hour.
Yeah, that's going to haul away very easily.
Please don't do it. Don't.
Can we support it is my question.
Yeah. How about we build some nice soccer stadiums for the inner city schools? Yeah, let's do that.
Well, but in theory, everyone would be able to use it because you're not, as a soccer stadium, it's not going to get used as much.
Of course.
But if I'm Bill Kraft... or Bob Kraft, and I already own a stadium that only gets used like 14 to 20 times a year.
But he's able to.
Do I really want to have another one of those?
Of course.
And I understand you're on the red line. In theory, I guess you could run water shuttles over from Chelsea.
Mm-hmm.
And your fan base, if they can get to the game, is going to come to the games. And you're going to have like tons and tons of people. You could probably sell out that stadium every single
game. No, absolutely. And he's trying to jump on the fact that South Boston and Dorchester are, I mean, South Boston has seen ridiculous amounts of economic growth.
Yeah.
And in property values, Dorchester's next. And what they want to do right behind my house with Tinian Beach. And I've been looking at some property. I'm like, this would be a great investment because the minute they put a MBTA station right in Tinian Beach, forget it.
You're never getting that MBTA station. You might get something like the Silver Line. You're never getting a train station.
Luckily, I live in the same neighborhood as Marty Walsh, and it's going to happen.
You're not getting a train station. It's not happening. We're not getting train stations out here. You're not getting a train station for Marty Walsh. Sorry. If Tommy Menino couldn't get one in Hyde Park in 20 years, you're not getting one in Tinian. Solar City.
Ooh. Well, Solar City does the solar panels.
Don't you know? Ain't gonna play Solar City.
Are they getting sued for I feel like there's something going on with, they say that you're going to get a discount on some, no?
No.
Okay.
That's Ticketmaster.
No, everybody's getting sued.
Yeah.
What is it?
They're getting sued for hidden service fees on their solar panels. No, that's not, really? You know this one? Elon Musk, the owner of Tesla, has announced his intention to buy SolarCity in one of the greatest well-duh moments in American business history. Tesla has developed a couple of products called Powerwall and PowerPack, which are basically giant batteries that you put in your home, and they will power your appliances so that you don't need to run off the grid. If you have solar panels on the roof, you can charge the batteries and basically not use grid power at all. This is a complete no-brainer. This is a shock to nobody. Elon Musk was sitting on the board of SolarCity, so I have a feeling he was just there keeping an eye on it, being like, is this going to work? Do I like the way these guys do it? Okay, yes. Buy it. We are witnessing a Vanderbilt build his empire. So keep an eye on that, Elon Musk. If these technologies that he is developing become the household technologies that he believes they can be, everyone's going to have Tesla in their homes.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone. And everyone is
now you can buy them at Nordstrom.
Yeah. But this is a huge game-changing moment in infrastructure and in energy. So worth paying attention to.
All right. Anton Yelchin.
He's dead.
Yes.
Because he owned one of them Jeep Cherokees that I don't know how they get away with this. The Jeep Cherokee
a freak accident.
It doesn't have, in the automatic models, does not have a traditional gear shifter. It actually has a glorified joystick that you slide around and electronically tells the transmission what gear to go into. Mm-hmm. The problem is nobody understands how to use it, so people think it's in park and it's not, and apparently that was the case. He left the Jeep Cherokee in his driveway, went to get the mail. Cherokee rolled down the driveway and crushed him against the mailbox. 27 years old.
Now,
very sad.
What's most significant about this, also in April, there was a giant recall of this. So, possible gear defects. And as Derek said, it makes you think you're in park and you're not. Crazy.
Yeah. Someone really, really ought to get rid of that design and never. Oh, by the way, the recall is a software update. Mm. They don't actually replace the thing. They just put some software in there.
That would cost too much money.
I guess it screams at you. Like, vehicle is not in park. Vehicle is not in park. Vehicle is not in park.
Yeah, generally,
it's probably what it does.
A moving vehicle would still get you to realize that. What do you got?
Oh, is it me? Oh, yeah, you asked me that one. Sorry, you get me talking about cars. And there we go. Barney.
A child was saved from an attacking Barney head.
I don't know the Barney head was necessarily attacking her.
Yes, what they believed was attacking her, but yeah, she was saved. Just the head.
Yes, she was playing a prank.
Somebody is not a fan of, Barney.
She was at a sleepover. No, she was at a sleepover with her friends. This was Darby Risner, a 15-year-old girl, petite. Built much like Lisa, in Alabama. And she put on the Barney head, hoping to scare her friends. But because she's petite, the Barney head slipped down over her shoulders and she was pinned inside of the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently one of the most unpleasant, she was panicking because she's 15 and thinks she's going to spend the rest of her life stuck inside a Barney head. Because when you're 15, you don't realize the world doesn't work that way.
Mm-hmm.
You think, oh my God, this is forever. Now I'll never be kissed. And apparently at one point, she was afraid that she was going to throw up. Which, if you're stuck inside a Barney head, not anything. So they took her down to the police station and eventually removed the Barney head from her.
Yeah. All right, last one for you. Drones.
New rules were passed by this is the FAA, isn't it? And among the new rules, if you have a drone that weighs less than 50 pounds, You don't. If you have one that weighs more than 50 pounds, you got to go get a commercial license. You have to be trained in how to use it. There are all kinds of regulations on when and where you can fly it. If you have one that is under 50 pounds, you do have to register the drone. And there are some new rules. You can't fly over 400 feet. It must be in your field of vision at all times.
Yes.
No one under the age of 16 may operate one of these things.
Now, which is interesting because it's not good for Amazon, which wants to change its whole delivery system to drones. The operator is not in the sight of it. So sorry. But it's good because before you would need a pilot license to operate these, where the average person, because a lot of people use it for businesses, whether we're talking about a photographer, real estate, whatnot, now you're able to do it.
I expect there will be an FAA carve out for things like Amazon, because another use of drones is over in Africa. And I believe we've talked about this on the show. They're using drones to move blood tests around and to deliver medical supplies because a GPS-powered drone can go anywhere and get there in a couple of hours, whereas if you try and travel in a vehicle, it takes days because you got to get around rivers and there's an elephant in the road and roads closed due to lions, you know, all the things you have to deal with in Africa, whereas the lions can't get the drones. So Amazon will have their opportunity, and someone will come out and say, these are the rules for commercial drone fleets, and until they start falling out of the sky and hurting people, they'll get away with it.
We're good.
Just be ready for these things to be zipping around over our heads, because this will be the next form of pollution that we have to deal with. There will be so many drones up there that the noise and the sight of them buzzing around is going to drive everybody crazy.
There was one outside of my work the other day.
And then we're going to be sitting around saying, how do we get rid of these damn drones? Okay, one more for you. Chick-fil-A. Or Chick-fil-A, as I like to call it. Chick-fil-A.
I feel like every story that they're involved in has to do with discrimination.
It's not a recall. I will tell you that it's not a recall. No peanuts, no Listeria.
They actually have a really good record.
Yes, they do.
With that. I don't know.
They are the favorite fast food restaurant in America.
I did hear that. Mm-hmm.
You know why? Because America loves deep fried racism. That's really what it comes down to. No,
believe
no, no,
that
no.
Company should be closed on Sunday?
The American Customer Satisfaction Index Restaurant Report 2016 listed the top fast food restaurants for America. They interviewed more than 5,000 people in March to get the results. Chick-fil-A was number one with a score of 87. Highest score of anybody. Papa John's came in second at 82.
Really? I don't know if we got any. It's that melted butter there. They put on the side.
All others came in at number three. So that's like everyone who's not on the list was more popular. This is like all your locals. So in terms of like largest number of votes, we get into these next
ones.
So
I'm assuming they asked people from across country.
Yes.
Not just geographically in one area.
Little Caesars and Panera tied for third.
Okay, Panera I could get. Little Caesars.
Yeah, I don't know why people like this stuff. Arby's, Subway, and Dunkin' Donuts tied for sixth with 80 points each. Tied for ninth, Kentucky Fried Chicken, so healthy. Domino's. Ugh. And Chipotle Mexican Grill, which actually fell.
I was going to say Chipotle
year over year. Yeah,
was much much higher. And it's interesting because as I think about what you're saying, fast food Mexican came out, and maybe it was involved in this, but that was the one that I read. And Moe's Southwest Grill actually beat out Chipotle because for the past few years Chipotle had been reigning in the guac game, but Moe's Southwest Grill.
At the bottom of the list, Taco Bell, Starbucks.
Because everything tastes the same.
Starbucks with their light lattes is not winning any points. Yeah. Jack in the Box.
Second I think people are still, you know, back in the 80s when they had all of them.
I loved going to Jack in the Box and Carl's Jr. when I was out in California. So, and the least favorite of all fast food restaurants?
Burger King?
You deserve a break today. That before your time.
Yeah.
McDonald's.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, Burger King was actually 13th.
Hmm.
So just after KFC and Pizza Hut. McDonald's, least favorite. And that's a little surprising to me that because they usually wind up dead last. But it's surprising because they're trying to change that.
Mm-hmm.
And they've actually, you know, they put in the all-day breakfast. that's doing business for them.
They've changed. They wanted you the artisan, which I think they kind of strayed away from a little bit.
They've changed up the menu a little bit. Things are simpler. You know, there's less goofy stuff in there. And it's like, I think they're turning it around. Maybe
they're trying to.
But I think it's McDonald's. It's easy to hate.
But again, we make the argument that people want to see what they're, or see you making what they're going to eat.
Exactly. That's what they miss, is it's like, I want the fresh food in front of me, preferably without the E. coli. 617-627-3800 is the telephone number. It is The Big Picture. Derek, Gary, and Lisa Nichols with you until 9 o'clock tonight, when On the Town with Mikey D will be here with everything you need to know about the Boston music scene. Call us up at 617-627-3800. Find us online, facebook.com/bigpicturewmfo. When we come back, Brexit. What is it? Why is it happening? What does it mean? Right here on WMFO Medford.
Nipples, yes, it's summer. Nip, nip, nipples, it's summer. Na, 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 na. Knockers. Na, 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 knockers. Na, 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 knockers. Na, 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 na. Who can concentrate with all these?
Sound of salmonella gyrating on your undercooked chicken. And it looks like mom might be taking it out a little early. Don't let salmonella get funky with your chicken. On average, 1 in 6 Americans will get a foodborne illness this year. So use a thermometer to cook each type of meat to the right temperature. Keep your family safe at foodsafety.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
Don't put mercury in the trash. Don't put mercury in the trash.
Fluorescent lamps,
thermometers, thermostats, thermostats,
button batteries,
button batteries.
These could all contain mercury, so let's dispose of them properly.
Don't put mercury in the trash. Don't put mercury in the trash.
Know your products with mercury, so you can dispose of them properly. Mercury is harmful to your health and the environment. To learn what products in your home may contain mercury and where to dispose of them, contact your local health department or visit keepmercuryfromrising.org. Brought to you by Wheelabrator Technologies and Covanta Energy, the people who convert your trash into clean, renewable electricity. Know your products with mercury, so you can dispose of them properly. KeepMercuryFromRising.org.
WMFO Medford, this is The Big Picture with Derek Gary and Lisa Nichols here with you. As always, Wednesday nights, 729. Call us up, be a part of the show, 617-627-3800. Now, you may be hearing about the buzzword Brexit. It is not that in-between breakfast, brunch, weekend, lunch, nope. It is the landmark vote that you will know the results of tomorrow. This is whether Britain will stay. Should I come or should I go?
Should we stay or should we go? Yeah, that is the question that they are asking. And you know what occurs to me? Because I knew this and I forgot this, if you've been trying to call us on the other number, the phone number changed.
No.
We have a new phone number.
You mean I have to learn? I don't even know my own mother's.
That line still works, actually. I just don't think it's up on the board. 781-350-3264 is the new telephone number. And we actually have four lines here now. No waiting. 781-350-3264. 781-350-3264.
That's awesome.
I'm hesitant to give it out over the air because then we're going to get Jethro Tull calls. And right now, Jethro Tull guy is calling and he's like, Why aren't they picking up and taking
through
my Jethro Tull requests? He can't reach us.
I'm going to have to write that down.
I don't think he actually listens to the station. So we may be done with him forever.
Yeah. He just calls.
Yeah.
So he doesn't know.
But yes, Brexit is tomorrow.
Huge vote.
You to the world as we know it may end tomorrow.
Could it?
And this is not a doomsday tinfoil hat conspiracy statement. The world as we know it may end tomorrow because Great Britain may vote to say, we're done with you EU peoples. We've had enough. We're out of here. And if that happens, the entire economic, socio-political map of the world changes overnight. You may have noticed that there's been a little tension in the financial markets lately. A lot of people talking about this. And you're saying to yourself, what's Brexit? Why is this happening?
Mm-hmm.
That's why we're here. Britain has been a part of the European Union since 1973. They signed up for the original accords that made this thing happen. And everything in the EU was going along pretty well until about 2012,
mm-hmm.
Which is when Greece started having severe financial problems. And Spain and Italy are also having severe financial problems. And there had to be bailouts because people weren't living up to their obligations. One of the obligations of being part of the European Union was that you would have no annual debt. Well, we know how that's gone for Greece. Another problem cropped up last year when millions of African immigrants, mostly from Syria and Morocco and Afghanistan, started piling their way into Europe, coming in through Italy, many of them headed for Germany. There's the problems in Calais, where there are lots and lots of migrants stuck trying to get out of Europe and into the United Kingdom, where they think they're going to get a better deal. England is not happy about this.
Mm-hmm.
Average people are not happy about this. There were earlier concerns this year about new banking regulations in the European Union that would have given the European central government some control over the banks in England.
Because just to understand, England is still using the pound.
Yes.
And Scotland is the only other country that is doing so, whereas everybody in Europe is using the euro.
David Cameron managed to get an exception to that. So they became the one euro member that would not have to follow those rules.
Mm-hmm.
And there has been a tension brewing in the United Kingdom where there has been strong skepticism toward the European Union all along. Some of this, they just don't like the Germans. They just don't like the French. There's a lot of historical rivalry here. But really, it's about sovereignty.
No, absolutely. I mean, you may ask, like, really, what is the case for leaving? And whether you listen to some people that are pro-leaving, and they talk about, you know, this cultural nostalgia of bringing Britain back up to the glory that it was. Because essentially everybody in the country believes that that's where the country was years ago. And it's really exited from it. They want to do what they want to do without having to answer to Brussels.
As Donald Trump would say, make Britain great again.
Exactly. But I mean, speaking of Donald Trump, you almost have that situation going on where, why does Donald Trump have so many followers here in the United States? Because many people are sick of the establishment, and that is what is happening in Britain. You have people that are getting promises about money, about, you know, how they're going to be able to live, and they're not getting it. But the number one reason also is immigration.
Really, what it comes down to is the forgotten middle class. The middle class, there are rising tides of populism all over the planet right now. Russia is engaged in heavily populist politics. This is why they're in Crimea right now. This is why Putin does a lot of what he does. China is engaged in populist politics, projecting its power into the South China Sea and into the Pacific Ocean, trying to potentially make some claims on things that may or may not be theirs. We have seen the rise of extreme right and left wing parties as a response to the massive African immigration in places like Germany, France, Austria. In England, you have a slightly different situation because the Schengen zone is a bit of a problem for them because they are isolated from the rest of the continent. So the way it works is, you can go work in any country in Europe. And about 13% of the population in England, right in the United Kingdom right now, which is the same as the United States, by the way, is immigrants who have come there to get jobs. The difference being, in this country, we would call those illegal immigrants. In the European Union, they're perfectly within their rights to do that.
No, absolutely. And we have the same, you know, at the same time, there's these influx of people, but they're willing to work for low wages.
Exactly.
And you talk about where somebody from in the United Kingdom or in Britain could go anywhere else in Europe to go work. It would be the same thing. Like if anybody from Mexico wanted to come here in the United States, they could work in Maine. They could work in, you know, Massachusetts, California, and whatnot. That's to put it into relative.
And what this does is this has a tendency to depress the value of unskilled labor.
Mm-hmm.
Jobs that, such as landscaping, construction, kitchen work, cleaning, nannying, all of these things that might have paid a decent working middle class wage if there wasn't a flood of workers.
It's so strange. It sounds very familiar.
Who will work for pennies, who will work under the table, who will do whatever it takes. It's a different situation in England, because they'll just go and work for less. You know, they'll just go and open up a shop and charge less, or they'll do their work for a little bit less. And entire trades are now completely staffed by immigrants.
Mm-hmm.
And the working class is not happy about this because they believe, as most populists do, that a government's first obligation is to its people.
Oh, absolutely. In a recent study in 2013, it found that more than 3/4 of Britons wanted the immigration policies reduced, and it was at 56% said they wanted it reduced by a lot. So significantly enough that we're talking about at least 50% or more percentage of immigration halted.
They want someone to come along and build a wall, although they already have one. It's the White Cliffs of Dover.
A little, what's going on here?
Yeah. They want someone to build a wall, kick out all the immigrants. Sound familiar? Now, this is an interesting moment because we are seeing this refrain over and over again all over the world. This used to be a problem in the United States of America only. It has now become a problem in Europe. because Europe is now dealing with the same kind of immigration that we have in the United States. The big difference is we're talking about smaller countries that are less able to deal because they've got the same number of immigrants that we have. They just don't have as much space or resources to absorb them.
Now, for all those people and the reasons why you just, and we went over, big question is, well, then why stay? I mean, essentially, this is where we start to get into problems. If we're not only just talking about economically, I mean, Europe is Britain's one of the most important export market. It's a greatest source of foreign investment. So now what? If we have not a part of Europe, and we have Britain on its own, where do they stand?
Well, this is where all the doom and gloom...
Are they going to be able to hold
this is where
up?
All the doom and gloom comes in, because on the economic... The immigration thing is easy to understand.
Yeah, but we've already seen a downturn. The minute the referendum came through, we've already seen the, what, pound is at its lowest valuation?
But here's the thing. This is where the fear-mongering globalists are wrong.
Mm-hmm.
If England walks away from the EU tomorrow, the EU's need for the United Kingdom does not disappear overnight. They're still going to want UK goods, and they're still going to want UK raw materials. And the UK is still going to need things that can be supplied by France and Austria and Germany and Belgium and all those other places. There are still going to be joint security needs. So it's not like, oh, you left the EU, we're going to shut you out of the single market. That would kill the European Union mm-hmm. to do that.
No, and I'm
that won't happen.
Well, look at what a financial mecca London is. I mean, they're still going to have business in them. And I think this is where projections really differ significantly because, yeah, you have those doom and gloom people, but you have people saying maybe it's a good idea if they do this. For the majority, from what I'm understanding and looking at pieces that people are talking about, is saying in the short term, it's going to affect it financially, but in the long term, it could work out. But do you think there's this, we hear Brexit, but also Sextit? Could that be a thing? So, you know, remember last year when we were talking about Scotland possibly leaving the United Kingdom and wanting to go off on its own? You have Nicola Sturgeon, first Prime Minister of Scotland, saying, well, if Britain's gone, we're going back in with Europe. We don't want to be a part of this little mess that you're creating. Now, if we have Scotland trying to get away from Britain...
Which won't happen.
Of course.
The independence vote lost by 10 points. Mm-hmm. It's not going to happen now. There is a bigger question about what happens...
But losing by 10 points, it also shows that people want to be a part of Europe.
There's a bigger question about what happens to the Republic of Ireland, which would still be part of the European Union,
mm-hmm.
but would now be geographically isolated by having all of the United Kingdom as this big sort of barrier between itself and the rest of the EU.
But not only talking about financial matters, if we look at Scotland and Britain together, politically, they sit in the same cabinets. So where Scotland leans very much more left than Britain, we could see a whole political landscape changing.
It's possible that the United Kingdom could dissolve, and I don't think anyone in the United Kingdom, if Scotland voted to leave, I don't think anybody's going to fight that. If Northern Ireland, I don't ever see this happening, but if Northern Ireland said, we're out, we're going to go be part of Ireland again, like I said, that's not going to happen. But I don't see them fighting to hold that together.
Mm-hmm.
This is really about England. This is really about England and about people in England who are looking at it and saying, why aren't we negotiating our own economic future? Why aren't we making investments in China? Why aren't we making investments in India? Why aren't we making investments in South America?
Because they have the capability of doing it.
Why is everything that we do controlled by the European Union and getting more controlled every single day? This is a country that built an empire, as is Germany, by the way, which is all on board with the European Union because as these ties get closer, Germany's influence grows.
So it'd be safe to say that the European Union would have more to lose by Britain exiting than Britain would lose by exiting the European Union.
More than likely. More than likely. But the bigger issue at hand is, for the moment, globalism is on life support. Because we have populism rising in Russia, populism rising in the United States. We know populism is rising in Venezuela and Brazil and other South American countries where the governments are corrupt, we see populism rising all over Europe. And primarily, it is in the so-called wealthy developed nations where populism is on the rise. Populism was out of favor for a very long time because of World War II. Mm-hmm. Those memories are gone. So why is populism back in vogue right now? Because the promise of globalism has not reached the worker. Too many people are out of work. Too many people are earning less money than they should be. Too many people are struggling to get by. The globalists import lots of immigrants who can't vote. So as long as the workers stay on the side of the globalists, people like Hillary Clinton, everything moves along fine. When the workers decide they've had enough, those globalists are going to find themselves potentially thrown out of office. So you have to do one of two things here. You either have to make a case that it benefits the worker, which the worker is coming to understand, no, it does not.
Never benefits them.
Or you have to change course. One of the two. It helps that Hillary Clinton makes a lot of money off of globalism.
Now,
it helps her.
If you were to make projections tomorrow, because you are very good at this, and look in that crystal ball of yours, how do you think this is going to go?
A week ago, I would have said leave without question.
Mm-hmm.
And then Joe Cox got murdered by a lunatic, and that may swing this. I still believe that leave is going to win by a nose, but if leave does not win, the assassination of Joe Cox is going to be the reason why.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go stay. I think it's going to be a situation like we had in Scotland.
And so we got a split decision here. We will see. We will know by tomorrow night whether or not the world as we know it has come to an end. 781-350-3264. It is WMFO Medford. That's the number. That's the new number. Write it down. 781-350-3264. When we come back, our favorite things from the past week and the strangest things from the past week right here on WMFO Medford.
Okay, gang. So, chances are there'll never be an emergency ever, ever again.
Mm-hmm.
But just in case, let's talk about a plan.
Okay.
So, who's going to do what? Anyone? Yeah, okay, perfect. We'll figure it out as we go. So, who is going to grab the go bag?
What's a go bag?
It is a bag we do not have that is filled with things we really, really need in an emergency.
Guess we won't have to worry about it then.
Ah, good point. So, we all know who to call if something happens then, right?
I'd have to call Jill, Devin, Melissa, Karen, and Bruce.
And I will try to call all of you, but Greg doesn't have a cell phone. Dad's phone will have a dead battery.
No doubt.
And Julie will be on the phone with Jill, Devin, Melissa, Karen, and Bruce.
Well, this is great. I am so glad that we don't have a plan.
I know.
Winging It is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency, who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information. A public service announcement brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
This is The Big Picture on WMFO 91.5 Medford. He's Derek Gurry and I'm Lisa Nichols. And this is What's Hot, our favorite thing from this week's news. Now, I talk so much on this show. I want to bring you the best stories in beer and all things delicious alcoholic beverages. Really, really interesting study. It was on MSN.com and you can go look at this study. Your favorite beer or your favorite music may affect your favorite beer and vice versa. Now, this was a new study. It was done by Dr. Philippe Cavaro. He's out of Brussels. It was composed of three experiments. So a bunch of people had three different beers. And what happened was they would play different music during them. So one was a pale ale, one was an amber, and a dark. Or I believe one was a little bit hoppier. What they realized, Disney-style tracks cause people to rate the beer to taste sweeter. So if you had a darker beer, maybe it seemed a little more sweeter, more chocolate, coffee notes. Volume also matters as well. Higher volume, they said it had adverse effects on it. What was really interesting, heavy metal music made a beer taste more bitter.
That's because heavy metal music is bad in general. It's not something
But it's funny how they give this person the same exact beer, but tell them, you know, and change the music frequently and say, rate this beer. It's the same beer, but they're doing different ratings on
it. So are we going to have music and beer pairings now?
I like to enjoy mine, you know.
Is that what we're talking about? You're going to have a DJ come over and you're going to have a flight of beers that you can enjoy while the music is playing?
It's the new thing coming with craft beer.
This is the most important toy news of our lifetimes. This is huge. Playmobil has been around since the 1970s.
The what?
Playmobil.
Like the mobiles you put over your...
No, Playmobil.
I don't know.
They're a German company. They make toys. They make really cool toys. People who have children know what Playmobil is. They're like little people with tons of accessories and all kinds of things.
And you have no children.
Mm-hmm. They've been around since I was a kid. In their entire history, Playmobil has never had a licensed toy line. They did an NHL series, and that's it. Like, they've done some athletes. Their first license ever is going to be the original Ghostbusters, and those toys are going to be on shelves next year, 2017. Keep your eyes out for these. Ghostbusters Playmobil. This is their first foray
coming out before Christmas
into like a big full-on entertainment license. It'll be fascinating to see what they do, because the thing about Playmobil is you get a couple of guys and then you get like a million accessories with them.
Who do you hang out with?
Stuff has been around. Stuff has been around since I was a kid.
No, Derek, nobody actually does that.
Stuff has been around since I was a kid.
You don't get your buddies together. You're going to the local bar and drinking beers.
Trust me.
Not together and putting your Playmobiles together. That's weird and creepy.
Trust me. People are going to be buying the Playmobiles. Yeah. Where's
As we end the show every week, that's the thing that happened, the craziest from this week's news, and it is not Derek getting together with his male friends for Playmobil dates. Vermont. Police say a man was operating a lawnmower on a road in Vermont is being accused of driving under the influence of drugs. The Burlington Free Press reports that 67-year-old Claude Spaulding of Bristol, Vermont, was stopped at about 1:30 p.m. Monday while riding a John Deere lawnmower on Lower Notch Road. Officers said someone called 911 to report a man on a lawnmower going down Route 116. Police said Spaulding showed signs of impairment and screened for drunk driving and driving under the influence of drugs. A court date is pending, results of lab analysis. Interestingly enough, Spaulding was arrested earlier in the week where he was charged for DUI drugs when an officer said he drove a tractor to Shaw's supermarket. Yeah. So one day he's on the tractor going to Shaw's. Monday he's on his John Deere lawnmower. They're weird up there.
Time to cut back on the drinking. Yeah. Or whatever it is that you're doing out there.
That's a reefer.
France.
Oh.
An unidentified 30-year-old man was jailed in Lyon on charges of drug dealing and held on bail of $559,000. After the man went to jail, 29 people showed up and attempted to pay his bail with envelopes stuffed with large denomination bills. Prosecutors refused to accept the bail payment and outright rejected one envelope because it smelled strongly of glue. The drug dealer remains in jail and is now also being investigated on charges of money laundering. So, when you go to jail, don't have all your friends show up with envelopes full of cash to try and pay your $500,000 bail.
That's usually a giveaway.
If it's like $30,000-$40,000, okay. $500,000, $559,000 bail.
I'm going to assume you're doing something bad.
All these people, I'm guessing, showed up with envelopes with like $20,000 in them. And it's like, who are you? Where did you get this?
Yep.
Not smart.
Not good.
No one accuses the criminals of being smart. Ghostbusters
Friends.
Playmobil. Ghostbusters Playmobil. See, you don't get it because
I'm not into things that are cool. I'm an adult.
You're not into things that are cool. You know what adults do?
Derek, if you told me you were going to purchase it as a collector's item, maybe put
That's
it on top.
That's what it is.
You just told me that you were going to get all of your friends together, which I want to know which one of your friends will purchase Playmobiles.
I never said that.
You just said you get your buddies together and you trade pieces.
No, I said it comes with a couple of guys and a big pile of accessories.
And then you said
the little Playmobil guys. You get some figures and then there's like this massive playset.
But you understand why I would misinterpret that, because that's something something that you would do.
There is a huge market all over the world for toys based on entertainment products.
No, absolutely.
There's like Walking Dead everything, and there's Pokemon everything.
People that are obsessed with the movie or obsessed with the show are going to buy it no matter what it is.
Exactly. And
if you put an emblem on the side of a toaster, people are going to buy it if they like the show enough.
Ghostbusters, very hot, very popular property. I'm surprised they didn't start with Star Wars, which is a slam dunk, no-brainer. Maybe they couldn't get it. Ghostbusters Playmobil, pretty cool.
Yeah, it's going to be a
big picture, on a lot Playmobil of desks next year. That's all the time that we've got on the Tell Mikey D is coming up next. Until next week, Lisa Nichols.
Lovely as always.
And I am Derek Gary. Stay safe, everybody.